Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about rural school funding, efforts to learn more about antelope, and how coronavirus is affecting tourism in Montana. It's Friday, March 6th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. February delivered another round of normal to record-setting snowfall in mountain ranges supplying water to Montana's rivers and streams. The federal government's latest Water Supply Outlook report says last month's timely snowpack improves the spring and summer streamflow forecasts. Compared to January 1st, when it looked like the 2020 winter season would be a bust along the Idaho-Montana border, snowpack conditions continue to rally across the state. The USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service in Bozeman says new snowfall records were set last month at seven mountain snowpack recording sites in southern and central Montana. NRCS says snowpack totals in all river basins across Montana are now near to above normal for March 1st. The agency adds stream flow prospects for spring and summer are shaping up to be slightly above average. However, forecasters caution that snowfall, precipitation, and temperatures during the next 3 months will ultimately determine the timing and volume of this year's runoff. Whitefish Mountain Resort will begin work this spring to add an additional ski lift and several new runs in the Hell Roaring Basin area. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports the U.S. Forest Service approved the project Wednesday.
Resort staff say tree clearing will begin soon on four existing runs and two new runs in the area. Other areas of the basin will be thinned out to improve skiing in the trees. Both of those parts of the project are expected to be complete this fall. In 2021, Whitefish Mountain plans to relocate Chair 8 to provide better access to the front and backside of the mountain. The resort says it will add an additional lift in the future to the top of Hell Roaring Peak, as well as additional runs, but dates for those projects haven't been announced. All of the work will take place within the resort's current permitted boundary on Forest Service land. At least one environmental group has raised opposition to the project, saying it poses risks to grizzly bear habitat security. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Montana's U.S. senators have signed on to a resolution in support of minor league baseball. Major League Baseball announced a plan to eliminate 40-some minor league franchises across the country late last year, including the Pioneer League that hosts three Montana teams in Billings, Missoula, and Great Falls. The Senate resolution encourages the MLB to keep the minor league clubs on the field due to their popularity and economic contributions to local communities. Congressman Greg Gianforte signed a related bill in the U.S. House in January. Senators John Tester and Steve Daines say they've received commitment from the MLB to visit Montana to hear from minor league fans soon. The U.S. Department of Education has agreed to delay a new rule that would pull significant funding from rural and low-income schools in Montana. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports the delay follows objections this week from Montana's U.S. senators and other high-ranking members of Congress.
Federal education officials say states should use census poverty data instead of the free and reduced lunch count currently used to determine poverty levels in school districts. Dylan Klapmeyer, communications director for Montana's Office of Public Instruction, says the proposed change would narrow the window for viewing how many students are living in poverty in Montana.
And we have always used the free and reduced data because that captures more families and students than just the census poverty data.
School districts are eligible for grants under the Federal Rural and Low-Income School Program when 20% or more of the kids in the area come from households below the poverty line. The proposed bookkeeping change, now on hold until the 2021-2022 school year, shrinks the number of districts considered eligible for federal aid to help provide an equitable education in rural and low-income areas. It would have cut hundreds of thousands of dollars in grants to schools across the state, starting July 1st. The delay allows time for Congress to step in.
Every dime counts.
Columbia Falls Superintendent Steve Bradshaw says the local economy has been hit by recent closures at an aluminum plant and several lumber mills. He says schools in the area use the federal grant money to try to make up for education kids might not be able to get at home. But under the outline change, elementary schools in Columbia Falls would lose the grant money completely.
We have kids that are living in true poverty that don't have any books in the home, and their parents are working two or three jobs just to feed the kids.
U.S. Senators John Tester and Steve Daines signed a letter to Education Secretary Betsy DeVos earlier this week calling on the department to rescind its methodology for counting rural and low-income school districts. The letter calls on the federal administration to work with Congress to serve students in rural communities. The change was put on hold within a day of the letter being sent. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
Early season boat inspections have begun in the northwest corner of Montana in an effort to block aquatic invasive species. Invaders like quagga and zebra mussels can impair lake ecosystems and rack up costly damages to irrigation, city water, and hydroelectric systems. The Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes are now staffing the watercraft check station on U.S. Highway 93 in Ravalli 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is also offering inspections at its Kalispell office on weekdays from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. All watercraft, from paddleboards to motorboats, are required to be inspected when coming into the state, crossing the Continental Divide, or entering the Flathead Basin. Some areas like Whitefish Lake and Glacier National Park require additional inspections. Out-of-state boats with ballasts need to be decontaminated prior to launch. New this year, out-of-state boaters must purchase a vessel AIS prevention pass. The pass is $30 for motorized boats and $10 for rafts, kayaks, drift boats, and sailboats. Additional inspection and decontamination stations, along with hours of operation, will open in the next few weeks. Montana is home to the second biggest population of antelope in the country, but wildlife managers don't know as much about them compared to other game like elk and deer. Rachel Kramer reports a new six-year project that uses helicopters and pickup truck laboratories aims to fill in the gaps and discover why some herds in the state are struggling.
Early morning in Paradise Valley, several researchers wait beside their silver pickup trucks on a dirt road. They try to stay out of the strong, cold wind and scan the field for the telltale white rumps and curved black horns of pronghorn, commonly called antelope. The Upper Yellowstone region historically supported over 1,000 pronghorn. The most recent count from 2017 found just 200.
Pronghorn are one of the species, as compared to deer and elk, that we just don't know quite as much about.
Kelly Proffitt is a wildlife research biologist for Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and the lead for the agency's new pronghorn project. She says FWP only started assembling statewide pronghorn population estimates in 2011, and the data shows some herds are dwindling and well below the agency's population goals. Proffitt says figuring out why requires basic data on migration routes and habitat use, causes of death, pregnancy rates, and diseases.
The big goal of this project is just to provide that baseline information so that we can work with the different landowners, public and private landowners, to try and make that habitat as good as possible for the animals.
That could look like removing or modifying fences that block migration paths. She says more information will also help FWP decide if the agency needs to adjust hunting regulations. Last winter, she and her team captured 40 adult female pronghorn in the Madison Valley to outfit the animals with GPS collars and collect samples. This year, they expanded to 7 additional study locations, including Paradise Valley.
And here goes the helicopter straight out of your sight there.
To get their data, FWP contracts with Quicksilver Air, a private company based out of Alaska that specializes in wildlife captures for research. Andy Orlando is one of the crew members.
We do all the gunning and mugging and all the actual hands-on with the animals ourselves.
Gunning is like shooting out the net.
Yeah, exactly.
And mugging
is jumping out of the helicopter and getting the animal out of the net and hobbling it up.
They tie the animal's feet together and blindfold it rather than using tranquilizers.
We collect biological samples, blood, genetics, whatever they need, take measurements, put collars on, put ear tags in, kind of the whole process.
Off in the distance, a FWP pilot flies a small yellow plane in search of a pronghorn herd and radios in the location. Kelly Prophet and Quicksilver's pilot and two muggers hop in the helicopter with bags full of GPS collars and sample kits. Less than an hour later, the helicopter returns to drop off used sample kits and refuel before taking off again. Jesse DeVoe with the University of Montana and FWP is the research technician for the project. He plops the kits onto the back seat of his truck, which serves as his lab for the day.
Okay, so you said they got 10?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they got 10 animals. Got 10 sample kits back.
He pulls vials of blood out of Ziploc baggies.
This is kind of the less glamorous job of the capture stuff. I feel like all I do is just try to keep track of numbers and samples.
DeVoe places the vials into a centrifuge powered off his truck cigarette lighter. The machine spins the vials until the red blood cells settle on the bottom. The clear reddish liquid or serum stays on top. Once the researchers are back in the lab, they'll be able to test the serum to find out if that particular pronghorn was pregnant and whether it had been exposed to certain diseases. DeVoe checks the other items in the Ziploc baggies, including fecal samples, which they'll use to learn about the animal's diet, and hair samples for future DNA testing.
That's the fur?
Yeah, that's the
oh,
fur.
Oh, that doesn't look like what I was expecting.
Yeah, they look kind of thick and heavy, but they're actually like extremely light, and they're also extremely brittle.
Oh.
They're hollow in the center.
In the coming months, the researchers will be processing the data from Paradise Valley, along with Madison and Big Hole Valleys, four study areas between Lewistown and Glasgow, and the southeast corner of the state. They're planning to produce maps of pronghorn habitat and migration routes, which FWP and partners will use in their conservation efforts. The researchers expect to release an initial report next year. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
A group of Billings hospitals and county services is recommending temporary voluntary visitor restrictions at all healthcare facilities in an effort to prevent and control the spread of respiratory diseases in the area. Yellowstone County's Unified Health Command, made up of Billings Clinic, St. Vincent Healthcare, Riverstone Health, and Yellowstone County Disaster and Emergency Services, was activated in January to prepare for a potential outbreak of the coronavirus that causes the COVID-19 illness. There are no reported cases of COVID-19 in Montana. Voluntary visiting restrictions extend to hospitals, clinics, long-term care, and assisted living facilities. People with coughs, colds, flu, sore throats, aches and fever, children and young adults, and people who were in recent contact with someone who was ill are advised to delay their visit until there is a decline in flu and other respiratory disease cases in Montana. The CDC recommends frequent hand washing and to stay at home if you're sick. International travel to the U.S. is expected to decline due to flight restrictions and fear over the novel coronavirus. That downturn will take a big bite out of the U.S. travel and tourism economy, but the virus could be a boon to places like Western Montana as Americans cancel their international trips in favor of something a little closer to home. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton explains.
As skiers hit the rails and slopes on Whitefish Mountain in the Flathead Valley, Gail Goodwin of Snow Bear Chalet steps out the front door of one of her luxury 35-foot tall tree houses.
Hey.
Are you married?
Yeah.
Come on in.
I was wondering if I was
Goodwin
in the right
says
place.
She caters to wealthier customers who are also regular international travelers. And as the busy summer season approaches, she's been getting more calls from people canceling those trips due to travel restrictions and fears over the coronavirus.
As the one lady I talked to from New York just a few days ago said to me, if there's going to be a problem, I want to be close to my home. I want to be in the United States where I know the level of care, the quality level of care that's available to us. And so she canceled a trip, a 2-week trip to Bali, to stay here.
Goodwin's customers, looking at Montana as an alternative plan, are part of what is expected to be a downturn in the roughly 100 million international trips Americans take each year. On a conference call with U.S. Travel Association members Wednesday, President of Tourism Economics Adam Sachs said a similar downturn during the 2003 SARS outbreak actually boosted domestic travel, and says that could happen again.
If that falls 5%, as it did in 2003, and it could certainly fall by more than that, you're looking at 5 million trips that are up for grabs.
And with the recent spread of the closely related coronavirus, known as COVID-19, in large cities like Seattle, wide open spaces like Montana might sound appealing to those looking to get out. The idea even came up on Howard Stern's show on Sirius XM this week.
We should disappear for a year.
A year?
A year. And I'm moving
from the airwaves.
And if you want to join me, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go to Montana and I'll broadcast from there.
Stern isn't alone in thinking of Montana, particularly the northwest corner of the state, which accounts for about a third of the $3.6 billion non-resident visitors spend in the state each year. Missoula-based Glacier Country Tourism says they've heard from some businesses in the area that trip bookings are going up.
But right now, we just don't have a firm grip on what exactly is happening.
CEO Racine Freedy says a majority of visitors to Northwest Montana are Americans who drive to the region from places like Washington State and California, both states with coronavirus cases. She says barring any travel advisories or restrictions from U.S. health officials, Montana may increasingly be on people's minds trying to avoid congested cities and airports. But there could be some negative impact here. While the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says U.S. airports remain safe, Freedy says fear of the virus could lead to a downturn in the 10 to 12% of visitors who fly into Kalispell or Missoula.
There could be potential downward trends. There could be cancellations.
In order to find out, Freedy's staff are sending out surveys to tourism-related businesses in and around Glacier National Park. Others around the state are also monitoring the situation closely. In West Yellowstone, some businesses focused on increasing travel from lucrative Asian markets like China are reporting a downturn in early season bookings due to flight restrictions. West Yellowstone Chamber CEO Mary Sue Costello.
April and May are going to be affected by that because in many cases, those airlines have a quarantine on them through May.
The U.S. Travel Association predicts international travel to the U.S. will decline nearly 4.5% through July as a result of the coronavirus, leading to a $10 billion hit to the U.S. economy. However, Jeremy Sage with the Institute for Tourism and Recreation Research at the University of Montana explains that non-Canadian international visitors to Montana only account for about 2.5% of the 12.6 million visitors the state receives each year.
It will be an impact as far as that goes, but the level of impact to a state like Montana is much less, in my opinion, than somewhere like a New York or these big international destinations. Just given our small piece of that international market, the impact should be muted.
Sage also adds that as long as the coronavirus doesn't severely impact individual consumer confidence, a spike in domestic travel could certainly pick up some of that slack. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds Monday morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.